Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
You want to do the intro in Spanish for Cinco de Mayo?
Hola y bienvenidos a Houston Wrestling Radio. Soy Abel.
This is Travis.
Cristobal!
Y es el Cinco de Mayo.
Sí, 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 sí. Olé.
Yay!
Somebody passed me a towel. My back is wet.
That was funny.
Yeah.
So, yes, welcome to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Sponsored by
Come
Goya.
Back, come back. We'll, come back. You don't have to leave because of that.
Yes.
You will not get deported, we swear.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe,
yeah. It's Cinco de Mayo. Woo! Although, if you're listening to this, it's after Cinco de Mayo, so no point in, you know.
So, be quiet because they're probably on, you know, hungover or something.
That's true, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to swallow the worm.
So, that's Abel.
Yeah.
No, so that's Randy.
Hey!
We got a hell of a show, huh? There's a pause after that. For him to cut all that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think we got a hell of a show, maybe. I don't know. There's some things to talk about.
Whatever. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with?
Well, we just watched the ESPN special there, the E60. Is that what the kids are calling these things? E60?
Yeah, it's their documentary style thingy.
I'm surprised I found the channel on my TV, honestly.
Well, I think it's only appropriate if we're actually going to be aired on Texas Sports Review. So thanks if you're listening to us on there for the first time.
And sorry.
Yes. We apologize in advance.
So ESPN ran a special for WWE backstage stuff. They followed a couple of different superstars, and
this is over the course of like 3 years they were filming this. And I remember hearing something about this about a year ago, whatever, is that they're getting that ready to go.
Yeah.
And it's good. I mean, it's ESPN, you know, getting legitimate coverage on what it's like to be a wrestler, in WWE. So it's always good to have, like, every so generation you'll see some kind of nice special, you know, TV special on a network or whatever that covers the inside look of WWE, and this is the current one. So it was really good. I was very pleased with
It was well done. I liked it.
The ESPN stuff, they do the documentary ish really well. I remember I think in the second season of E60. They did a segment about behind the scenes of WrestleMania 29, and it came across really good. Any documentary that ESPN does sports wise, I like to get my eyes on it. And the NXT one just came off without a hitch.
Yeah,
really good. Pulled the heartstrings.
Yeah,
certain sections.
I mean, I came in and you guys were already halfway through. But from what I could tell, like the stuff with Corey Graves, like that was, you know, how do I want to say, like. I don't want to say, oh man, that's really good, because, you know, his story is a little sad, you know, and it's like, oh.
It's got a happy ending, though.
Yeah, it does. It does have a happy ending, so it was well done, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you missed some other spots in the beginning of it where they're kind of just showing just random, like, behind-the-scenes footage at the Performance Center, NXT and everything. There was one where they're showing Triple H kind of coaching a young Bray Wyatt, and, he was at the entrance stage, and like Triple H is like showing him how to hold a lantern, like where to hold it at so they can get a good shot of his face and things like that. So you can see like the beginnings of what you see on TV now.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I was surprised a little bit by the micromanagingness that's on there. Cause I think there towards the end, somebody asked Xavier Woods, well, do you remember your lines? You know, something to that effect.
The host did. Yeah.
Is that what it was?
The backstage.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, wrestling, maybe now, maybe just in WWE, has evolved a little bit more to where it's like, lines instead of bullet points and this and that. And I think we've kind of known that it's been like that for a while, but that just kind of confirms.
Well, that's what, you know, some of the things that Steve Austin says on his podcast every so often when he talks about stuff that needs to change. And he's like, man, just go back to the bullet points. You know, let the wrestler kind of speak for themselves. And just mm-hmm. as long as you hit those points, it should all be organic and fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. That was a good documentary. I liked it a lot. Yeah. I hope they sell it on iTunes or it's on a torrent. I can download it and watch it. Yeah. It was good. It was really good.
All right. So what else we got?
Speaking of NXT, they've announced some matches for the TakeOver show.
Nice.
The next TakeOver show.
When is the next TakeOver show?
May 20-something on a Wednesday.
Okay. Give me a second. All right. Travis is looking it up. Well, Travis looks it up on his little computer machine.
Triple threat match for the number one contenders announced.
Yes.
Breeze.
Yes.
Balor.
Yes.
It's the Miz.
Hey. Which will be NXT TakeOver Unstoppable, which will take place May 20th.
Nice. May 20th. So that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Kind of. Depending on how big the corner.
Unstoppable, the pay-per-view where the main events played with injuries. We'll get to that.
I'm sure we will.
All right. So how do we get to change. How do we get to this? These three being the number one contenders.
They put Regal on the screen and said, "Hey, number one contender, these three guys, go." That was it.
That's good enough for me. Yeah. I mean, you know, a face. Authority figure, I guess, can just do that just for no reason, just up and say, hey, we're giving these three guys a shot. Boom, that's it. I don't mind it. I like it, you know? I know that might be a little bit contrary to some of the stuff that we say, oh, everything has to have a story, everything has to have a build, this and that. But I think you could get away with it in this instance with Regal because he's such a beloved, you know, authority figure. It's a lot different than the heel authority figures where why would he book anybody to have anything if he's a heel authority figure? But with Regal, he's like, I need to put on a good show. These are three guys that could put on a great match. So have at it.
There
is story.
Tommy, okay. Breeze, and Balor, right?
Yeah.
I'm okay with Breeze and Tommy. I kind of wish there was maybe another variable in there along with Balor.
Okay.
To kind of maybe even it out. This maybe four-way. But to me, it just seems because Breeze and Tommy have been having that little feud been going on. And mm-hmm. it's like Balor's just kind of like a third wheel on that.
Well, Balor and Tommy, they could play off of the whole, you know, tag team. That used to
but that's
be
two different stories.
No, actually,
two different
they
matches.
Can play off of the finals for Tommy winning his spot at the Battle Royal at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then a couple of weeks ago on NXT, Balor had his match, and after that, Breeze came out and was like, oh, you, the Flash in this fan, flavor of the month.
Yeah.
So there's enough ties that bind the three of them together.
I missed that. I don't know.
It wasn't last week. It was the week before.
Yeah.
Entertainment-wise, I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. The match itself should be stellar.
Yeah. And then the other side of that, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. What'd you think of the promo?
Which one?
The one between those two and Regal, basically setting up for the match at the top of the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, look who's involved. I mean, for God's sake. I mean, yeah. It's... No, it was too scripted. No, it was good. Yeah, they got the points crossed. They're going to have a fight.
Yeah.
And there you go.
I wanted them to do either one of two things. Either really go full bore with the we're recreating what happened before when Owens goaded Zane into doing it. Either go like 100% this is the direction we're going and like make it very, very visible or don't acknowledge it at all. And I think they kind of tried to straddle the line and I wasn't too keen on that where it was like, okay, just say that, hey, I'm turning the tables on you. Just say it. Just go out and say it. But then they kind of just kind of danced around it a little bit, you know? So I was a little disappointed right there, but that's not, I'm disappointed in the three guys' performance. It's more like the structure of how they got to where they were at, you know? But all three of them talking on the mic, the way they did it, it was all great.
Really? You felt that way?
A little bit,
I thought it was par for par what Owens did. Like, he took it personal with Zayn. as far as the past, and then this time Zayn took it to the personal level, saying everything you do has me tied to you, so you can't really do a goddamn thing without me.
Right.
You know, so I feel like tennis match, they served it back and forth pretty evenly.
Okay.
So, but to each his own.
Maybe I just wanted more literalness out of it, which that could just be my anal retentive. Yeah, I'm trying to overthink it.
The other side of the coin, just throwing it out there bluntly, would that like not have served? Would that not have gotten the point across just as worse, or just, or would it have done anything different?
I am not sure what your question is.
If they did do the more literal thing,
yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would that?
Yeah, I will. That's what I just said. I would have liked it if it would have been a little bit more literal.
I don't. Real quick, I want to say this about NXT this week. A couple things that kind of got on my nerves as I was watching the show. This was a very, very promo heavy show. Like, to an extent, like, I mean, not just promos, but like backstage things and non-wrestling matches, to a point where it felt like a WWE show, not an NXT show.
Hmm.
We get one of those every month and a half, I think.
Yeah, you start getting too many of these, and it's...
Yeah, but it's also a necessary evil, you know, and sometimes they could actually be good, some of the backstage stuff, and some of the promos could be good.
I'm not going to say they're all bad, it's just like, yeah. It was just like one thing after another, it's like, okay, where's... And then the matches they had just kind of felt like kind of throwaway matches.
Well, let's talk about something else. What else happened on NXT?
Well, the promo with Zayn and Owens led to Riley wanting a shot at Owens. Ugh. And Regal didn't have that. And then Zayn's like, well, I can use a tune-up match. You want to fight me? Sure.
What I really want to happen, especially since they're calling Alex Riley Rage, I really wanted Alex Riley to just go off and be like, I'm no one's tune-up match.
I thought that's where they're going with that.
I thought that's where we're going too, but again, they never went to the literal, boom, this is where we're going. They kind of teased it a little bit, but it never went exactly there.
I don't know. They keep going this route with Riley, and I'm already like, you see him pop up and he starts saying, I want another shot at Owens. And he's like,
you don't deserve another shot at Owens.
Yeah, and I'm glad Regal actually said that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you had multiple times. And no,
yeah, you've had your shots.
Yeah, so too bad. So
yeah. Sad. And he needs to be going up against people that aren't Owens and Zayn. He needs to beat up a couple of, you know.
CJ Parkers.
Maybe just beat Cass or, you know, one-on-one.
Bull.
Or Bull. Yeah. You know, beat up some other people. Let him get some wins to build his momentum.
And, well, all I was going to say about Riley was that his character, it's already transitioned to me. I don't want to say full-on heel, but he's going that direction.
Yeah.
And he's coming off as a whiny bitch, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I won't mind if he's kind of tweener-ish. I don't mind that. You know, you put him next to Sami Zayn, oh yeah, Sami Zayn's going to be the face. But you put him next to Kevin Owens, yeah, Kevin Owens is going to be the heel, definitely. Like, I don't mind him being that kind of in-between. But do something where his moniker as Rage actually means something. It's not something that they're just calling him. Just Rage. Well, no, let's see it. Let's see some of that, you know? Yeah. Have him get angry. Have him get pissed off.
His rage is his whininess.
Yeah, right now he's whiny.
Like a spoiled brat. That's what he's acting like.
Yeah, a little bit.
I never liked that guy.
Backstage segment number 47, Emma and Bayley.
Yeah, what? Emma stole her gear and stuff?
Well, it's been a slow build for a heel turn for her. Has she officially been a heel before this? Because now, I mean, she's like high-fiving the other heel.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If they finally pull the trigger and they're going to do Emma versus Bayley at TakeOver.
It seems like Emma's a heel now. Emma's a heel. I'm comfortable saying she's a heel.
Which is good. I mean, it's a change.
Yeah.
So I don't,
something different for her. Again, this is technically developmental that we're talking about with NXT.
She had the character before. Yeah. They took it to the main roster. It didn't work out. So they put her back down into Venmo. And we got to see what else works for her.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of NXT, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see the angry side of Bayley where she just calls him out and says, hey, this is NXT. This isn't Walmart. So stop stealing my stuff.
That is a good point. I don't know. Yeah.
It's Emma being herself turned up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shoplifter.
Instead of stealing one thing, she sold like how many things she had? Headbands,
yeah, headband, t-shirt, yeah.
Backstage segment number 98. Carmella.
With Alexa Bliss. That was interesting. Well,
that,
of course.
That was forced for me. Mm-hmm. Like Alexa Bliss, like out of nowhere, just to be the other diva in the trio of
the Sugar Boys.
Yeah. Sweet boys,
sweet boys, yeah,
sweet boys, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. To me, honestly, it just felt forced.
Yeah. Okay.
I like Alexa, but
I've never been on the Alexa bandwagon. I just can't get behind her.
I haven't seen enough of her to make an opinion yet. But Carmela's fitting in very well now.
Yeah, I'm starting
to, more and more.
I'm starting to come around to her.
Yeah, I definitely feel like she's part of the Kaz and Enzo.
I think the fans, seeing that the fans have accepted it in there,
mm-hmm.
it just fits.
Yeah,
I'd go with it.
Mm-hmm.
How about Brooke? Dana Brooke.
I don't know. I'm still.
I'm already done with her. Yeah. I was done with her last week. Honestly.
Yeah, I'm still really not impressed.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, are you?
I saw potential.
Okay.
She did a lot more of the strength stuff. You know, the handstand into the foot under the throat.
I hated that.
You hated it?
I hated it so much because, like... Because
it made them look droopy?
No. She didn't actually pull off the move the way she intended to. Like, she had to, like, use her foot to figure out where her neck was. And it was, like, touching on her shoulder.
Yeah,
and,
I
like,
did notice a weird camera angle on that.
Yeah, it's like, there's your neck. Okay, let me put... Like, if you're going to... Like, that's your one unique, quote-unquote, move. Like, at least do it right.
It looked
and,
like...
And even if she does do it right, what's the point of doing a handstand just to do a choke? Like, the psychology of it. Why even do it? Yeah, just choke her. Just go up to her, walk up to her, and put your forearm on her throat, and that's it. That's all you have to do.
Or get her down on the bottom turnbuckle, put your foot on her
throat there. Yeah, you don't have to do
like
a
every other woman does.
Yeah, you don't have to do a handstand facing away from your opponent and try to find their neck with their ankle. Like, come on. It's not like you get extra leverage. If anything, you get less leverage.
You ain't gotta balance yourself on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. She's got a lot to work on. I don't know. They're building her up too much, I think. If she just debuted as another roster member, I'd be okay with it.
She's still trying to do that, ooh, I'm sexy, but also, ooh, I'm strong things, which I guess I understand maybe for some guys there's some of that out there, but in my mind, I'm thinking, well, is she just going to be big, buff, tough, strong chick, or is she going to be, ooh, I'm so sexy chick? Like, what is she going to do? And they're trying to, like, make it both? And I don't know if it's working for her.
For me, it's not working. I don't know. She's doing the poses and everything. I mean, the arm pose, you know, flexing all that, that's okay. But when she's doing all the mannerisms.
She has like 9 different poses.
Exactly.
Remember WWE, Raw vs. SmackDown 2008? You can press the button to do certain taunts. It's like she's pressing all the buttons at once and she's doing all these different like struts and stuff. For 45 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she needs to calm it down a little bit.
That's it for the neighborhood. Well.
Well?
All that was all nice and dandy on Wednesday.
Okay.
Then Zayn decides to take Cena's open challenge on Raw.
Yes.
I'm going to just go right out and say it. It doesn't have the meaning to me as it would have the rest of the internet. The 9 o'clock hour, Cena comes out, cuts his promo. And then I realized, damn, Starbucks closed. So there went my Wi-Fi. So hearing everything after the fact, instead of watching it in the moment, the impact didn't hit me as hard. So for anyone that watched it in the moment, what was your first impression when all that unfolded?
I'm actually going to say this, that before anything even happened, swear to God, I was thinking, would it be cool, since we're in Canada, if Bret Hart like, came out and introduced Sami Zayn?
You literally thought that?
Because there's no one else that's like an up and coming in Canada, like they're known for being there.
Owens?
Heel. I mean, a face.
Well,
yeah, he's not going to get a face pop. Well, maybe. But then, you know, being Bret Hart to actually give him the red carpet treatment, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, the introduction. I thought that part worked really well. The part with Heath Slater.
Mm-hmm.
The joke was funny. But I think he was completely unnecessary in that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, as much as I like Bret Hart, I remember a poll on the website that were asking, it was one of those YouTube videos where he goes 5 things.
Yeah.
And it was like 5 dream matches for John Cena's United States Open Challenge. And one of them was Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, they might actually do what? Okay.
What, like Bret Hart as a challenger?
Yeah, for the U.S. title. Like dream matchups for Cena's Open Challenge.
Yeah, Bret Hart in his prime, but Bret Hart right now, of course not.
The shock value would have been a whole lot better instead of Bret Hart giving the hints. Oh, yeah, up and comer from Canada. Oh, from NXT. Like, that would have... You could, like, the pop already happened for Zayn before he came out.
Everybody was chanting, like, during Cena's promo, people were chanting Sami Zayn.
Before Bret Hart
they were doing the
out.
Ole Ole stuff.
Yeah. Before, yeah, that's what I'm saying. During his promo, during John Cena's promo.
Yeah.
They did the Ole Ole chants while Cena was even talking. Right. So, why not just get the crowd into it? Just hit the music and have him come out, as opposed to, like, milking it dry before you even get to, like,
see it. Well, with Bret Hart, I understand them wanting to give the rub to Zayn. I think that was just Bret Hart's delivery. Like, I'm a huge Bret Hart mark.
He stuttered.
But,
a lot.
Yeah, he stuttered. He's never been known to be on the mic, the best on the mic, and that was before he had a stroke. Yeah. You know, so I can't really blame him too much for kind of dragging it out and then stutter stepping over his lines, because, I mean, it's Bret. But the fact that he was there giving the rub to Sami Zayn kind of made it like, okay, well, we know he's going to fight Cena. We know he's going to lose to Cena, because let's face it, Cena's not going to just lose the U.S. title just like that in one of these open challenges when he already has a match booked for the pay-per-view. You know, he's not going to lose. So why not have Bret Hart give the rub, you know, to whoever it is coming out? And of course, it wound up being Sami Zayn. Now, I was watching it in the moment, not really realizing that's exactly what they were going to do, because everybody suspected, everybody was chanting for, you know, ole ole, let's go Sami Zayn, all this and that. And that's what wound up happening. So it was great. I liked it. I liked it a lot just in the moment. I was like, oh, wow, they're actually going to go through with this. And even though I was going through the entire match thinking there's no way that Sami Zayn is going to win it for all the reasons I stated previously, for a split second there, in the heat of the match, I was like, whoa, wait a second. Are they actually going to give this to Sami? Oh, two count. Okay, whoo. But I tweeted this, and I still stand by this. Sami Zayn is probably the best at looking good during a loss. You had it with Cesaro. You had it with Neville. You had it with Owens, and now you have it with Cena. He looks great in losing efforts, and he looks very sympathetic, and he garners that sympathy very well. And people still love the heck out of this guy, so I gotta give my props to him. Now, watching it the second time here with you guys, knowing what I know from the news from today, that during that whole match he was actually legitimately hurt and that wasn't storyline, I kind of looked at the match with a little bit of a different eye and a little bit more critical of an eye and not a mark out, you know, oh wow, this is great and this is a great match. Watching it the second time, it's not as good of a match as what I thought it was on Monday night. I'm still willing to give it match of the week candidacy, not my pick, but I think maybe because it was kind of a thin week, a little bit.
I'll give it a candidacy, but yeah, earlier you were saying how it was like it was a good match. I was like, yeah, it was okay match.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what Sami Zayn can do, and it wasn't what he was doing.
Yeah.
But he was hurt, so I mean, what can you do?
Well, he still did a lot of what he could be doing.
Right.
But Chris,
we've seen how good Sami Zayn is wrestling, but you alluded to earlier, he's not losing to Cena. This is open challenge. It's going to happen. Cena's already booked on this match with Rusev. It already, my expectations had already lowered.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even looking at it like that. I'm looking at it something that even Triple H himself tweeted about. I don't know if you saw this or not, but you have, you know, Sami Zayn coming out challenging the established John Cena. Go back 15 years ago, John Cena, up and coming, came out, challenged, established Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
You don't have to win.
Right.
You just have to get your name out there.
Yep.
And that's what he did. So, and knowing that aspect of it, I knew I was okay with him losing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was for, you know, he's not, like you said, he's not going to win the title.
Only difference is Cena was an ex-bodybuilder turning pro wrestler. No one really knew who he was. Sami Zayn's got Ring of Honor credibility, and already he's got a lot of NXT credibility. So as much as like the road, that's like different like stops on the road.
Yeah.
Comparing Cena to Sami Zayn there, and
I'm just talking about the moment. I'm not talking about the wrestlers. I'm talking about the moment of what they're doing.
And that, I think he would have got just the same reaction, if not bigger, if it was done in New York or Philly or Pittsburgh or Chicago. Doing it in the hometown when Zayn's already booked for a title match with Kevin Owens, I don't want to watch that anymore. I want to watch Zayn already on Raw.
Right.
You know. And I don't want to watch Cena Rusev now. I want to watch Cena Zayn again.
Yeah.
You know? And that's they could have done this after the takeover, after Payback, and starting a fresh a fresh thing where, okay, Cena's beating Rusev, that chapter's over. Oh, wait, Sami Zayn? Dude, he could beat Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, oh, a TLC match, the match isn't over because that table's been folded out and hasn't broken yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that already, like, seeing the signs, like, man, this could have been so much more if they would have waited for it. And well, then on top of that, Zayn gets hurt.
Yeah.
Trying to hype up the crowd.
Yeah, it could be more, maybe in the future, maybe after he beats Rusev, maybe people will still remember, hey, that's the guy that gave Cena a run for his money. You know, why not give the kid another shot or something right. Like that? Like, that story isn't over, I hope. I don't think it's over anyway. But I think for the fans that are still holdouts that haven't tuned into NXT, that don't follow Ring of Honor, that only watch WWE and that's it. I think for those people, that was a really great introduction of who Sami Zayn was. And I thought that was a good enough match where people will remember him.
Here's the only rebuttal.
Okay.
Timing. Again, payback's over. The takeover's over. Next week, next night, Cena comes out with the title. Here comes Sami Zayn. Holy crap. Build up to Battleground.
Yeah.
WWE versus NXT.
Yeah.
No, A whole lot better than Montreal. We'll let the hometown boy have it.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that it's perfect, but I'm not saying it's terrible either. I'm saying for what they did, it was still pretty good.
I think you're trying to find ways to complain about it.
Well, like I said, the match didn't hit me as much in the moment because I saw it. I had the experience secondary.
Well, whose fault was that?
It's the WWE's fault.
No, it's not. Get out of here. It's WWE's fault that Starbucks closed and you lost your Wi-Fi connection.
No, it's WWE's fault. We're having this conversation on Messenger.
Uh-huh.
It's WWE's fault that it's been so shitty the last couple of weeks that I have to find a golden nugget in a pile of mud. That's why.
Okay. Again,
I went into yesterday ready to miss Raw because I had an opportunity to work the Rockets game last night, and I would have been just fine missing Raw. After the fact, yeah. But these last weeks that we've been down on Raw, whose anticipation has been up? Tonight's Raw. Last night's Raw. So
honestly, I think last night's Raw wasn't all that bad. I don't think it was, like if we were judging it on like the way you would in school, I'd give last night's Raw a B. I mean, it's not A plus or anything. It was a B. But when you come off of weeks and weeks of like C's and D's, B is progress.
Okay. We're starting off Raw with Roman Reigns and Randy Orton teaming, and then we're ending Raw with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton against each other.
Again, I'm not saying it's not without its flaws and its criticisms. I'm not giving it an A. I'm giving it a B.
It's a solid B plus at best.
Well, I don't even
C
know.
C plus.
Yeah. I was trying to quote a certain authority figure.
Yeah. No. It's not without its flaws and not without its criticisms. And that it actually is a big criticism of mine where you had Roman and Orton both pulling double duty.
You said duty.
Yeah, I did. Who admittedly WWE knows that Roman isn't as over as people think he is. Same thing with Orton. So what are you going to do? You're going to make them pull double duty and show them to us twice in one night? That's really good. Like, that's what your plan is, to get them over with us by shoving them further down our throats? No, here's my biggest gripe. What they could have done with this is they could have had what they had at the beginning with New Day and had their opening segment, this and that, all right, and then set up all the stuff with Kane and whatever. And instead of Kane saying, later tonight, this would completely change everything. Instead of saying later tonight, this Thursday on SmackDown, that would have completely changed everything for me. Because then I would have been like, okay, cool. Well, that means it stretches it out. It gives it more time. It teases you. It makes you want to actually see something on SmackDown. And for those people that are behind Orton and are behind Reigns, because there are people that are like that. I mean, both of them were getting a pop last night. Those people that those people that do want to tune in and see it, well, now they have a reason to tune in and watch SmackDown, which has been neglected. Mm-hmm. I mean, SmackDown is absolutely nothing. Throw it a bone. Give it something. Build up something all Raw to get to SmackDown. That's what I feel should have happened, especially when we're already with Ziggler and Neville versus Barrett and Sheamus at 9:55, and the show supposed to quote unquote end at 10. Yes, I understand that you have overrun and they frequently use the overrun, but at 9:55 this match is still going on. That should have been the main. Boom, that's it. Once it's done, it's done. Give them an extra 5 minutes to put on a little bit better of a match, and then save the rest for SmackDown. Put some eyeballs on your other show. That's what I feel like they should have did. There was no reason for them to squeeze all that into one night.
I mean, it's their problem because they made it. It's a 3-hour show, so they don't have the content for a 3-hour show.
Well, even if they stopped, they would have had their 3-hour show. Everything that happened with Roman and Orton at the end of the night happened after the 10 o'clock hour. Everything.
Ambrose Rollins would have been a very solid main event for last night's Raw, and ending it on a cliffhanger by having Dean the fourth person in the title match.
Yes. Which, okay, that match. That might be my match of the week pick. I think that is.
I'm torn between that one and another match.
Okay. Right, as of right now, Ambrose versus Seth, my match of the week pick.
That match was fun. The promo was fun. And I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, I loved the back and forth between them two, them trying to pull off their finishers and then, you know, countering then into it. Then I just loved it. I love the back and forth of the match. I love the athleticism. I love how Dean was knocked out and still being crazy. And then when you thought Dean was finally going to get that final blow, he just does that rebound lariat, you know, and
lariat.
He really laid into him with that lariat.
There were some stiff looking moves in sales both in that match. And then seeing the chemistry that they still have between the two of them, that's my match of the week.
All right.
It looks stupid, but it's grown on me like a fungus. His 6-1 clothesline.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. The rebound lariat. Yeah, yeah.
The one from the outside, not his Nigel McGuinness in the ring. One outside where he does like a 6-1-9.
Oh, okay.
6-1 clothesline.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
He's outside of the ring,
right?
And he does like this little Rey Mysterio thing on the apron. And swings his legs around, his corkscrew into the lariat outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looked ugly at first, like it looked like out of place, but now it fits him.
For him, ugly kind of looks good.
Yeah.
You know, sloppy, raw, crazy, lunatic. Yeah, it all makes sense.
Yeah. Storyline-wise, I understand this trip, this Fatal 4-Way, but watching them all in the ring, man, Orton looks like he does not belong in that match.
Why? Because he's not a Shield member?
Exactly. Like, a part of me is thinking, okay, they're going to do old school WCW, and Seth is just going to bring the band back together, and they're all going to rape Orton.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't mind. It'd be interesting. It'd be a swerve I'm not expecting, and it might keep me watching.
Yeah.
You know, maybe move itself back up the ranking of my priority list as far as wrestling goes.
Yeah.
But it just threw me off. Mm. But it's cool. Ambrose in there? I wouldn't mind if Ambrose held the belt for a while. It's the summer. They test stuff out in the summer. That's how we got R-Truth versus John Cena at Capital Punishment for a heavyweight title.
Yeah.
You know, why not throw Ambrose a bone? He's had leading the merch sales for a while. So.
They won't.
I know they won't, but.
What do you think then, Trav?
What, for the triple threat match?
Or the four-way now.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think that It's telling that they actually have to put a fourth guy in the match to help get it over even more than what they actually have. Maybe they don't have enough faith in the people that's in there already.
Maybe.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting now that because that's a big variable putting him in there. So
I feel that I know Kane, when he was teasing this to Seth, he was like, well, maybe I should add a fifth person and a seventh person, this and that. Like, they don't need to, you know, four. Okay. That's pushing it. That's enough. You did good by having this match be the reason why there's a fourth person in the match, but don't add any more. Like I get Kane's trying to stick it to Seth, and I actually really like this. You know, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, you know, my opinion of Kane was the same as the opinion of Big Show. Kane and Big Show ruin everything. But right now, the way Kane is interacting with Seth, I'm kind of digging it. I kind of like it. He's still trying to be the heel, still trying to play his part on the authority, but he still doesn't like Seth, so he's still trying to low blow him. I still like it. So, yeah.
I I don't know, that backstage scene when he says, what you were just saying, you know, 5 guys, 7 guys, 9 guys, you know what I was thinking.
Burgers?
Well, that too. But when is Battleground? Is that, that's not a thing anymore, is it?
It's in June.
Is it?
It's in June, and then Money in the Bank is July, and then SummerSlam is in August.
Well, what I was thinking for that, after this pay-per-view, or special event, the next one, Championship Scramble match.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Ooh.
We haven't had it in a long time. We're well overdue for a scramble match on that one.
All right. Yeah, I'd be cool with a scramble match. I mean, yeah, it has been long overdue. Sure, why not? Especially if you have guys that are...
And it fits Kane trying to stick it to Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Screw it. Or something like this, why not throw Big Show in there?
No, I don't think he'd do good
Andre
in a scramble.
Andre the Giant, Memorial, he's still on Triple H's side. Triple H could sick him and say, hey, make sure that Steph leaves with the belt.
You could have a big guy that all the littler dudes can bounce off of. Okay. All right. I can see that.
But anyway, that was my thought on that. So.
Okay, cool. What else do we have?
Anything else on Raw that stood out for you?
Oh, I don't know what she had next, but I was going to say Naomi, her new look in the family, quote unquote.
I missed that.
Yeah, I don't.
You didn't see her new look? Her
no. She's dressed in all black, and she came out. Well, okay.
So if she's in the dark and she's not smiling, she's going to get run over.
Potentially, I suppose. She attacked from behind. Yeah, I know. She attacked from behind the Bellas and
the face Bellas now.
The face Bellas
from behind. You got my attention.
Yeah, yeah. And out with her came Tamina. So one of them
found Tamina.
Yeah, one of them got Brie. The other got Nikki. And they were both dressed in all black. Tamina had like this crazy poof dyed purple hair thing.
She's always had that though.
And she always had the dye in her hair.
Yeah.
She's struggling with her hairstyle.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, anyway, they are looking like they're trying to match, and they the announced team kind of referred to them as family or something.
Well, you kind of glossed over.
Did I miss something?
Part of Naomi's new look.
Oh, yeah.
Not only was she just wearing black leather and everything like that, or black tights.
The glowing shoes?
No, they're gone. It's all gone. Her hair. Her hair, my friend. What's the nice description for this?
I don't know.
Remember,
Predator dreadlocks?
yeah, maybe a little bit Predator-ish.
Yeah, dreadlocks all the way down.
Yeah, all over. Yeah.
Is that the new DLC in Immortals?
Naomi Predator look?
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, they were saying that Tamina was married to a cousin of
Naomi's or something like that.
Yeah, that's why they're family.
Yeah. Like, okay, I thought they were going with maybe, like, part of the Samoan family line thing, because, you know, she's married to Jimmy or something, but yeah. I'm like, wait a second, she's Superfly's kid, she's not part of the Onai family.
Right?
Samoans, they're all related.
Yeah. But she's not Samoan, he was from Fiji. Fiji, Samoa, two completely different places.
The thing that made it confusing was, after they beat down the Bellas, Naomi got on the stick and started talking about, this is my definition of family, and she kind of walked away. We didn't know what the hell she was talking about. And that's when they actually had to cut to the commentators to explain what she was talking about. Which, it's good.
It's good that the commentators are actually explaining something. I don't want to criticize them. Oh, they went to the commentators to explain it. I don't want to criticize them for that because I want them to explain things. So I'm okay with them explaining it. It's just kind of a flimsy explanation. Yeah. Like, okay, that they're family now. And the way Cole said it, he's like, well, as everybody knows. Third like, no, nobody knows. Yeah. Like, this is probably totally kayfabe, but maybe it's not a kayfabe. I don't know.
You saw it. So I'm going to ask you in like 15 seconds or less, because WWE has done this before. Is this a knockoff of the Dollhouse from TNA?
No.
Okay.
No, not a knockoff from the Dollhouse at all. All
right. So, you know, beautiful people and then lay cool later.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
And this group girls stuff, I was like, I don't know.
No, they're knocking off their own selves in this, I think, a little bit. I think that it's...
They're beating themselves, Michael.
Yeah. I think that... You know how everyone was saying, oh, well, Naomi took AJ's place in that match? Mm-hmm. Well, I think Naomi took AJ's bodyguard in Tamina. But the thing here is, I don't think it's going to be Naomi, oh, the cute, funny one with the silent, strong bodyguard. I think they're both just going to be badass chicks, okay. Which I kind of want to see where they go with it. You know, if they give, and I said this last week, if they give Naomi a full green light push and they really run with her, I'm cool with it. And if by doing that, you give her Tamina where they're both badass chicks and they go run with it, I'll be cool with it. But right now I'm kind of scared because last week she has the colorful, tights and the colorful shoes and she's just like this, overly cocky diva. But this week, no, she's just this overly badass diva and she has dreads and she got rid of the color and she's with, you know, Tamina who's all dressed in leather. And so another character change in the course of 2 weeks? Maybe they don't know where they're going with her. And that concerns me.
Here's my other question.
Give divas a chance.
Got you guys watching the segment. Did that solidify Tamina and Naomi as the heels in this story?
Yes.
So yes. Can somebody please remind me what happened between Brie and Nikki that all of a sudden made them faces in this?
No.
They zoomed in on her boobs.
You joke, but that's a better explanation than I got.
I remember seeing somewhere on the interwebs, News with a Z, something like that, that some ex-writer guy or something leaked some info about the way creative thought Divas.
Yeah, that was a past, that was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that was this week, but, you know, it was a while ago where they're saying that there's no heels or faces in the Divas divisions. They're all women and none of the women get along with each other or like each other because they're women and that's it. I think
that's a better explanation than boobs.
Yeah, I think that's how they're actually handling this. Oh, you know, Nikki looks good and they'll boo her or they'll cheer her. She's just Nikki. She's just Brie. And all you got to do is just like have somebody else fight with them and that's it. And it's kind of unfortunate because, I mean, one, it's incredibly sexist. And two, it's lazy booking. Like you could do so much more, but just on a whim for no reason, we just assume that their face is now. Okay, fine. Thanks.
Yeah. You've seen it on TV for several years now. That's what it's been like. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know. For like a week or two, I had hope that they were actually going to do something with the Divas division, and I'm already back to saying, okay, they don't know what to do with the Divas.
Yeah.
What was the substance of Give Divas a Chance? Did you want better match quality or did you want substance in the storyline?
Yes. Both. Why can't you? Why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't you do both?
Have you seen WWE's track record of being able to do both?
Yes, and that's precisely why I want them to do both. Their track record, yeah, it sucks. That's why I want them to do better. You know? I mean, expectations and what you want are two different things. I want them to have a competent Divas division where the Divas can wrestle great matches and also have good storylines.
Is that too much? NXT.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that too much to ask? They do it in NXT. Why not on the main roster?
It's Vince.
All right. What else we got?
Anybody here suffer from arachnophobia?
Not me. I actually like spiders.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They eat other things, other pests.
Like you?
I'm not a pest.
No, you eat a lot of other things.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's funny he saw that side first.
Yeah.
You, Trav?
No. Yeah.
No? You're not afraid of spiders?
No. Are you?
Unless they're crawling over me, then maybe. If I see a spider walking across, I'm like, oh, okay, it's just a spider, whatever.
Oh, it's a little spider.
Yeah.
What about you, sir?
No. Until I saw that video where that old lady hit the spider and all the babies came out.
Oh, yeah.
That was just creepy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I know how our truth feels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess you're asking the question because of the Stardust
situation. What's in the bag?
Yeah.
Bro, what's in the bag, bro?
I don't know if I think that this was completely stupid or completely hilarious. I'm not sure.
It's Stardust, man. Give it a shot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where they're going with that.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, okay, he knows that he's afraid of spiders, so he's got him with the spiders. But
he's got a bag full of spiders.
Is he going to do this with different wrestlers? And if that's the case, then he's the new face of fear. Oh, wait, we already have someone in the face of fear. It's Bray Wyatt, who couldn't beat the face of fear originally. So, what?
Yeah.
You, Travis, pop culture expert, is there any villain in TV show or cartoon that played his strength of being able to fear his opponents, strike his opponents using their biggest fears against him?
Scarecrow. Batman.
You think that's where he's going next?
No.
After his...
No, don't ever compare WWE to Batman ever again.
Well, because it's Cody Rhodes. He's the big geek that came out looking like someone from the Future Foundation and now is looking like someone from Mr. Sinister and could possibly be leaning towards that in his character.
I don't know. All I know is I didn't catch it when I first watched it, but Goldust sent a tweet out saying...
Goldust.
Yeah.
Okay.
That calling out JBL, he says, you better watch it. It's basically, he said that... when someone in the commentator said, oh, what's in the bag? And or something like they were asking about that, and JBL says, oh, maybe Dusty Rhodes is in the bag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Or
the commentator's trying to be funny, and that's...
They're not, yeah. Yeah. One of the things that you touched on in that is a point that I wanted to make, too, which is... If Stardust does this for different opponents and customizes ways where he gets into the mind of the other opponents, I like this. But if this is just a one-off thing just for R-Truth, it might be a waste because it's R-Truth. You don't really need to do a whole lot to beat R-Truth, to be honest. So that's why I'm not sure how I feel about it. Cause if it's just this one-off thing, I'm like, okay, it was kind of funny, but where are you going to go with it? But if it's where you're doing other things for other opponents, maybe this is something new. All right, maybe I could get behind it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of intrigued about what they're going to do next with it, but like next time after that, if it's more the same or if it's like he's got spiders for everybody, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if they can either go really good or really bad.
I mean, who else in the roster has fears? I mean, you're going to...
Exactly,
are you going to attack Ryback with vegetables? I mean...
Yeah.
Are you going to attack Seth Rollins with penis pictures? I mean... attack Bray Wyatt with relevance? I don't know.
Attack
The Miz with a box office?
What about Ryback, that promo he had?
I liked Ryback's promo, his portion of it. And considering that I've always kind of liked Bray's stuff... Mm-hmm. You would expect me to say that I liked Bray's part of his promo, but I didn't really. I mean,
I'm glad you said that.
Ryback kind of made valid points.
He's already made them.
And yes, you're right. He has already made them, but at least last night on Monday Night Raw, the stuff he said was coherent and made sense. Bray just spoke Bray and ease, and that's
dude, I'm telling you,
he didn't make a point.
Bray was like literally background noise. I was watching the screen and I was just like, I cannot follow. It was just like in one ear, out the other. I was not paying attention
and it's
or cared. I didn't care to see what he or hear what he was saying.
And it's not because, oh, what he's saying is just so grandiose that we just don't get it as commoners and just flew over our heads. Right. No, he literally just said a whole lot of nothing.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. We're actually agreeing, Abel.
Yes, it's a miracle.
I think Ryback had more validity in his promo when he called out the fans for chanting Goldberg,
yes,
and 5 seconds later he had him right here in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
That sounds like the rebel badass Ryback that had the leather jacket that was talking smack to John Cena.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a monster that chants Feed Me More speak about a personal life and him having a soul because he hurt his leg and he had all these hardships. I wanted to see Ryback the machine, not Ryback the soul. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have helped Wyatt's promos better if they were just focusing on what Ryback is supposed to be, just like a machine, a rage-eating monster, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to attack your weakness because you had a past and you were human in your past and you broke bones when you were in the past when you're supposed to be this big thing. The whole thing's just falling flat for me.
The whole thing? Even the stuff Ryback was saying.
Because he's already made that promo
before
WrestleMania. Where'd that get him? Nothing.
Okay.
Dude.
Where did all the Bray Wyatt stuff get him at WrestleMania?
Nothing. Yeah. I've said it before long ago that him not winning his matches, that's affecting his character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can do all the talking you want, and to the point where if you talk, you can talk too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to the point where he's talking too much. Like, I don't... Why are you saying that? Okay, we get it. You're talking, you're trying to be getting his head and everything. Okay.
Yeah.
Where is it, you know, what's that going to accomplish?
Damn it. You mentioned about how Wyatt not winning his matches hurts him. Not to come back to a dead horse, but that's my whole problem with Cena.
Cena not losing hurts him?
Yeah, Cena not losing. imagine, again, we're in the playoffs right now, basketball playoffs. Imagine Cena's opponents as playoff series.
Okay.
Who has ever gotten the upper hand in a playoff series against Cena?
No one.
Here's who. Punk.
Okay.
Where is he now?
Gone.
Bryan. Where is he now?
Injured.
Orton.
He's at the top of the
card. That's the only one.
Yeah.
If Cena's not losing to anybody, no one else beneath him's going to matter.
Yeah.
Playoff series with Barrett. How'd that go?
He demolished him.
Playoff series with Sheamus. How did that go?
And he demolished him.
Playoff series with a very hopeful and very refreshing Umanga. How did that go?
He's dead.
Figuratively and literally.
Like, John Cena didn't kill him.
This okay. is the point that I'm that yeah. where you kind of didn't want this open challenge to continue, and why I wanted Cena's thing to fail. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole they had a shot with Rusev. If they would have had this series with Rusev and have him come out on top, like extend the King of the Ring to like another round of matches and have Rusev with his qualification or something, have him win a match over Cena where it wouldn't have been as important, but at least he has one on the scorecard so that his like quit match wouldn't be a complete like suicide.
Now, how this idea is just popping into my brain right now. How would you have felt with on Monday, Zayn versus Cena with Rusev interfering? If he interferes and it goes to a no contest or a DQ, then you have Sami Zayn. Well, he didn't really lose. He didn't really win either. And he still looked good in the match and he was still in front of his home crowd. And Cena didn't really win, didn't really lose either. Still looked good, but it adds more fuel to the fire for the pay-per-view match with Rusev. After he beats Rusev, Sami Zayn could come back out and say, you know what? Now that we got rid of the big Russian.
Actually, my prediction for that match that happened for the U.S. title was going to be Kevin Owens coming out.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
And that would have tied into the takeover of it.
Yeah,
they could plug that.
Well, yeah, and that was another thing I tweeted out. I was like, oh, man, Kevin Owens is going to be pissed off. Because part of the reason why Kevin, you remember the first video packages before he debuted, part of the reason why he was targeting who he was targeting was because, oh, they picked Seth Rollins first. They picked Neville first. Yeah. They picked, you know, so-and-so. And here's Sami Zayn, the guy that he just demolished. And, oh, he's getting a call-up to the main roster? God, that would have been such a great tie-in if Kevin Owens would have came out.
Let's see what happens. Maybe on NXT they can do like a...
I would hope so. I hope he has something involved there with that.
Back to the topic at hand. Say they played that out that way. In the Rusev-Cena scorecard, who really gets the point? Because it's not a match. Rusev doesn't get a pinfall victory or a submission victory. That's the whole thesis of this.
Yeah.
That every time Cena has a series or a feud with somebody, not only does he come out on top, sometimes he sweeps.
Yeah.
Which makes Cena's matches so predictable and makes the opponents that Cena has so...
Irrelevant.
Yeah, because they never get... Again, with all the guys I've said before, there's plenty more that I probably haven't said yet. How high have they gotten since that?
Not very high.
You know?
I know every time when we're talking about Cena, we always mention this name, Umaga. But I always feel like he is example prime when it comes to the... I don't want to say burial stick that Cena is, but...
A derailment.
Yeah. Like, Umaga had all the momentum in the world to be the next top killer heel. And he hit Cena, and then
nothing. He could have just given him 1 month with the belt.
Yeah.
Cena could have got it back the next month. At least said, oh my God, the score's tied between Umaga and Cena.
Yeah.
If they wrestle again, I want to see who wins that. Mm-hmm. So far, no one's even close to coming up with a Game 7.
Yeah.
That's on the roster right now.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the whole anchor to where the Cena Zayn stuff's like, man, it could have been so much better. But,
yeah. All right.
Yeah. I don't know. After all the talk with all that, you mentioned Rusev. It just makes me think of Lana.
Oh, I am loving this stuff with Lana. I'm loving it. Where she's acknowledging the adoration and she's like showing that she likes does. It. It's like, oh my God,
oh,
she's so human.
Cute. Oh, that was so cute.
Oh, man, I know. Her boobs in unison.
No, her little, the top part of her dress that coming up.
Oh, you got that little 90s midriff going.
You know what this is? And I said this to my wife when we were watching this. I said, this is Mark Mero and Sable. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They've already. I've already seen like news with a Z, like you like to say. They're gonna change her up altogether because you can't. That Russian gimmick is gonna go so long, but she's so over that gimmick. I mean, it's her popularity is surpassed it. I think.
And they're doing it very well. This is one thing that WWE is doing spot on with Rusev and her. You know, Rusev being the. What are you doing? You're my manager. Get to the back.
The Mark Mero.
Yeah, the Mark Mero. He's playing it very well. He's playing that part very well. And I just love that we're starting to see Lana as a human.
The pouty look when she's walking back.
Yeah, you know, like she has more range of emotion now. And
I just want to point out the only flaw in this.
What's that?
I hate to be a Debbie Downer.
Okay.
But now Rusev is playing third fiddle in this feud. Seen a lot of arms.
Yeah.
Anything else from Raw?
I think that's it.
Do you have anything on your notes?
For once, Ascension looked great.
Oh yeah, Ascension versus K-Swiss. That was a really good match.
Yeah, that thing. I love how the fans have turned K-Swiss face.
Yeah.
You know, they were supposed to be the cocky heels, and they were just so over with their attitude and very attitude-ish era type
now
gimmick.
I'm okay with it too, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit. You say that you love how the fans turn them face.
Right.
I guess you're right on that, but there is no actual storyline explanation for why they're face. So we're over here.
About the Divas.
Yes.
Thank you.
Complaining about the Bellas where they just turn for no reason, but we like it when it comes to K-Swiss.
But, okay, my counter to that is there's been no attitudinal change in the characters or the gimmicks themselves.
Okay.
They're still the same people. They're just getting cheered now.
Okay. I'm okay with brushing my hypocrisy under the rug with that with that explanation.
I think that was a valid
point. Shut up, Michelle Beadle. GTFO.
No. All right, so we'll go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we got some Lucha Underground to talk about and some other local indie stuff as well.
Yeah.
That tag team match was a candidacy for match of the week for me.
Okay, yeah, throw that on the canvas.
But it's not my pick.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hey everybody, this is Chris. Do you ever feel nostalgic? You want to jump into that DeLorean and go back in time? Listen to our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind. My friend Travis and I, we talk everything pop culture, movies, television, TV shows, games, video games. You think it, we talk about it. Pop Culture Rewind at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Find us on Twitter at popculturerwnd. And as Travis always says, don't forget to pop your culture.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you'd like to continue to support Houston Wrestling Radio, you could do so in a number of ways. First, if you downloaded us off of iTunes, hit the subscribe button. That way you get every new episode as soon as we upload them. Also, you could write a review as well as give us a rating. If you're listening to us on the Stitcher Radio app, hit the thumbs up button at the bottom of the app. If you want to just interact with us, you can do so on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter, at HWrestlingRadio. You can also send us an email, HoustonWrestlingRadio@gmail.com. And if you're able to support us monetarily, you could buy one of our awesome t-shirts designs at tpublic.com/user/HWRpodcast. Or if you'd like something different, like a phone case or a tote bag or a hoodie, you can do that at redbubble.com/people/HWR podcast. Again, thank you so much for your continued support and enjoy the rest of the show.
This is Al Snow, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Yes, that's Houston Wrestling Radio. I'm so excited that parts of me are pulling up inside me right now. Thank you.
All right, guys, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us through the commercial break. Thank you for listening to us on all our mediums, as well as possibly Texas Sports Review if you're listening to us on there. You know, we're brand new to their family of shows and whatnot, so thanks for having us on, and we look forward to having, you know, more listeners through there. So that being all said, what are we going to talk about now, fellas?
Lucha.
Say that again?
Lucha Underground, they say.
We probably should have started the show with that, since it's Cinco de Mayo and everything. You know?
Oh, yeah.
No, we end the show on a high note. Injury-free. Everybody shows up. Everything is quality. It's been the best show of the week for the past couple of, since it started. So
20 weeks.
Yeah, so why not give it its due and give it the main event billing on our show?
All right. Yes, Lucha Underground. See. Olé. Yeah.
¿Cómo están, pinches?
Sí. What happened this week? That was great, because everything is great on that freaking show.
I thought I was going to have my match of the week pick.
Okay.
But because of my last, what I said was my pick, got downgraded.
Ambrose versus Rollins, yeah.
That's still my, it was a tough one, but I had, for a split second, Prince Puma versus Drago as match of the week. But it just kind of got edged out just a little bit by Rollins.
I feel the same way, too. Prince Puma versus Drago was a very, very strong contender. I'd like to definitely make it a candidate. But
it's my pick.
It's your pick?
Again, edged out barely.
2 out of 3. Ain't bad.
Yeah. And plus, give WWE a bone. We've been crapping all them for like ever. So why not just
listener of the show, Nicole Bacon. She yes,
Bacon.
She says, or she tweeted at me yesterday, or was it this morning? Something like that, saying, "Hey, if you guys pick Ambrose versus Rollins as match of the week, is that going to be the first time that a non pay per view WWE match has been match of the week this year?" Oh, and is it? I think she's right.
My memory sucks. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
It's been between Lucha and NXT for the most part is our match of the week stuff.
And I think the one thing that was like, that was WWE that we really liked, that triple threat match, wasn't free TV. It was a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think she's right.
Well, kudos to WWE for actually doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we're talking about the Lucha Underground match.
Yeah.
Really good. Really, really well done. Last week, I said that I don't really know how I feel about it. I was on an emotional roller coaster. Like, yay, he gets a title shot. But, oh, that's kind of predictable. So that kind of sucks. But, oh, no, wait. Now his career's on the line. Yay, now it's not predictable. But, oh, holy crap, we could lose him. Or we could lose Puma being champ. Oh, what do I do? So I was a ball of emotion when all that happened. And I like that because it's something different.
His balls.
Right, yes. Chris, I hate you.
Hey, it's still PG, right?
Yeah. All right, so, Chris, what do you think about all this, jerk?
Normally, the endings of the matches where there's interference kind of, like, kills it for me, but it builds up the storyline so well, and the future payoff of this isn't a stepping stone. This is, like, one of the huge mile markers on the way to the destination of Hernandez, Puma, and Conan, the little meat in the hot in the middle. Yeah, this.
All right, we'll catch everybody.
Action-wise, the match was top-notch. It was fun to watch also, as a lot of Lucha is. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that's what edged it out for me for Match 3, honestly, was that finish. It was WWE-style finish. Okay. With the interference.
Well, let's catch everybody up. What was the actual finish? What happened there?
All right, so we have them going up, getting their building up to the climax of the match here, and then Hernandez,
yes, on the show last week,
the referee got, I think, knocked out for a second, right? And then Hernandez came swaggering in the ring, and he's gonna do a spear or something to it looks like
it's a little shoulder tackle thing that he does,
He was going to do it to Puma.
Exactly, yeah. The thing was, you know, usually when this something like this happens, it looks like he's going to do it to, who you think is the enemy, and then he accidentally does it to the guy he's not supposed to hit. In this case, it looked like he was actually going to go for Puma in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I think that kind of set the pace. That's kind of pulling the trigger on what we thought was going to be happening over the last few weeks. So that could be it. But I don't know. It was the whole interference in the match which cost the guy who had everything to lose to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, and kind of walking off to the sunset there. So that was kind of WWE stylish for me. But other than that, it's damn good match.
Not walking up to a sunset. He went out in flames.
Literally.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I was ready to disconnect my feed because I saw the credits like, oh, the show's over. Then I saw Drago walking out. I was like, okay, where's this going? And he looked at it like, I'll be back. Like, okay, where's it going? And then poof. It's like, wow.
Literally a ball of fire. That was, that was quite the cinematic touch.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Puma holds the belt. Conan telling him to take advantage of the opportunity. And Hernandez is our number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
So
I loved the setup for that. The backstage thing beforehand in the locker room with Dario Cueto coming out and taunting Puma pretty much and saying, well, we got to find, you know, something for you. And then in walks in Hernandez as Cueto's trying to walk away, but it's still in the same locker room. So
and they show Puma hearing him.
Yeah, Puma was within earshot. So I really liked that dynamic there. And him, basically Hernandez just trying to still kind of straddle the fence of you still don't know where his allegiances kind of lie. And, you know, well, we can put you in a number one contender match. And he's like, okay, sure. Yeah. And it worked. And then Puma hearing that's like, oh, this dude's supposed to be on my team, on my side. He's going to try to challenge me? Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Like, he's wearing a mask, so you can't see his facial expressions, but you could almost see his facial expressions.
Oh, all the luchas do a really good job of expression emotion through the masks.
Yeah.
That, and just like what a commentator should do during matches, I think the people involved made it clear enough that they got exactly what you just got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were detailing what they were saying and emphasizing what needed to come across so that you didn't need to see Puma say, this is supposed to be on my team. You already got the visual because they explained, the people in there explained it so well.
Right.
You know, and it just came across so well.
Well, let's see what happens because on this week, it's going to be Puma and Hernandez teaming up against King Cuerno and Cage.
Oh. Nice. That's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where all this is going with Hernandez and where it's all going with Puma and where is Conan going to actually take his allegiance to? Is he going to stick with the champ? Is he going to make the champ somebody else and stick with him? Or what are they going to do? Yeah. I love it. I love it so much because I don't know where they're going with it. And that's how it should be with wrestling. You should be able to not predict it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a level of excitement that you don't get at other promotions, for me anyways.
I've always said that one of the main components to make wrestling successful is the element of surprise. And sometimes, maybe in this day and age, you could blame it on the internet or something, but for whatever reason, with everything except Lucha Underground, it seems like the element of surprise is not as prevalent as it used to be at one point in time. Maybe it's because we are too smart, quote unquote, because, you know, everything is spoiled for us before we actually see it. But when things happen that you don't expect happen, that's what makes wrestling awesome. Yeah. And they, for some reason, somehow, some way, Lucha Underground still has it.
I agree.
Another example of when you don't expect it, it's awesome. Explain to me about the moth.
Okay, Martin Cassius or something like that. I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, but we're Facebook friends for whatever reason. He was on Tough Enough, and
Steve Austin's Tough Enough.
Yes.
Okay.
The last iteration of Tough Enough, and he was the guy who I wanted to win, actually, Martin. You know, but he wound up not winning, and Andy Silent Rage Levine or something, whatever his name was the one who won, and he sucked. And he got a stunner on Raw, and that's it. You never saw him ever again. The reason why Martin didn't win was because he injured his ankle like 2 or 3 weeks before the end of the show. And man, that really sucked because everybody, not just me, but a lot of other people wanted this guy to win. Anyway, he is standing outside of the office, not the office, the whole temple, and he's not being Martin from Tough Enough. He has a completely different name, different character, and he's just, quote-unquote, a fan. And Dario Cueto, you know, was just walking outside to talk on his cell phone or whatever. And then he's like, Dario, oh, yo, hey, my name is so-and-so, I'm the Moth, whatever. And he's like, no autographs, please. No, 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 I want to wrestle. LOL, JK, bye. And what does he do? He crashes the match with Hernandez and who all was Hernandez fighting in that? It was Hernandez and Cage, was it?
Hernandez, Cage, and Cuerno for the number one contender.
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah, he crashes that match, and he's like, I wanna wrestle, yar. And everybody looked at him like he's crazy, and they kind of just did a move on him and threw him out, and he backed away.
Pirate Moth?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I think you skimmed over one little tidbit of information there.
What's that?
Why is he the Moth?
Pretty much. It's like, when he ambushed Cueto outside the temple, he's like, Aztec is in my blood and this and that, and Moth is my
spirit animal. My
spirit animal. And didn't he say his last name or something like that? And he showed him something, and then that freaked out Cueto, and he's like, I gotta call you back. And he's like, and then he like slammed the door on him, and he's like, we gotta talk about something. And he kind of walked away. So I think that's alluding to something itself, unless I read too much into it. But.
You might have, you might not have. Who knows with Lucha Underground? I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like part of the cult that Dario is allegedly, we think he's in, maybe has something to do with some prophecy said that the Moth will show up and, you know, I don't know.
It's his son.
That's Dario's son?
Yeah.
Is this your guess? Or
that's my guess.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, this mother has my spirit animal. I think he's mine.
Yeah, I have no idea, man. I don't know where they're going, but I like it. I like it a lot, and I can't wait to see what happens with them. You know, it's something different, and everything with Lucha Underground is always something different. You can't second guess this show because it's always throwing you curveballs.
Something different. They have a fatal four way match set up of four victims of Pentagon Jr.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, all right. The winner is going to get more suffering from Pentagon Jr. And just as the match is about to start, here comes Tejano.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming at all.
No.
Rapes all four of these guys.
Yes, poor guys.
Yeah, like 50 Shades of Tejano with that rope. And then I remembered as it happened, and then I forgot when we were discussing this, taking notes, calling out
Sean Daivari.
Yeah, Sean Daivari.
Although he didn't call him out by name, and not the commentators didn't know his name yet.
But man, Tejano in two languages came across boss in that promo.
Yeah.
I'm interested in Tejano. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It kept my interest.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying something for someone named Tejano.
Yeah.
who's billed from Baja, California. Really? You're going to call yourself Tejano and be from Baja, California?
I said that on purpose to get him talking like that.
Yeah, I think I've had this rant before on this show. Have I?
Yes, you did.
But you're expecting a four-way of Pentagon's victims, and we come out with Tejano.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so random, yet it worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And hopefully we get more of them. I wanted to see, like, a gauntlet match between Pentagon and all four of these guys so you can put them in the grave for good and let the dirt dry. You know? And so when Tejano came out, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I don't remember Tejano and Pentagon crossing paths. Why is Tejano in the way of all this?
Yeah.
Because they're in his way.
Because they're in his way.
Yeah, see, it kind of lends itself to the realism, quote-unquote, of wrestling. Because if you had a guy that was that pissed off that, hey, I just want mic time and I'm just going to grab it and go in there whenever I can. Oh, yeah, the match with all the jobbers, I could take them out in one fell swoop. I'm going to go out during that match. I don't care about Pentagon or who these guys were. They were victims of Pentagon. I don't care. They're four scrawny dudes that I could just kick out of the ring and
with
grab a mic.
With hurt arms.
Yeah, with hurt arms. They're vulnerable. Like, let me kick
and
these guys out.
Real quick, to their credit in that match before they got beat down, they're all selling the same arm. So everybody was trying to do something with their right arm. They kept having a
hold. Now I'm expecting like old school Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee. Like I want Pentagon to come out and crash the hound and goes, nobody beats up my jobbers, but me.
Cero miedo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's going to be great.
Hey, speaking of great.
Yeah.
The Trios champs.
Oh, yes.
Segment of the week, right, Chris?
Oh, yes.
Talk about having the it factor.
Mm-hmm.
All three of these just combustible elements of
attitude. It's a great orgy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Angelico, Ivelisse, and Son of Havoc. And what I liked about it is that they didn't just by default go back to what they were before all the storyline happened. They are still working within the dynamics of what they are to each other. They are, Son of Havoc is an ex-boyfriend of Ivelisse, so they still fight as though they're exes, not fight as though they're back together. Angelico tried to hit on Ivelisse, but like now... So. Now he's not really interested because she's kind of crazy. And, but they still have to work together. So there's still the dynamic there that they're still selling. They're selling the different points of the storyline continuously. And they're not just relying back and relaxing back on old things to make it simpler. It's simple for them to just say like, oh, it's just a love triangle. And we all still like each other. No, they're one's the ex, one's this one that's trying to hit on them, this and that. They're still making it complicated.
This isn't a situation where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Right.
Each one of these individually could be just as good, if not better, on their own. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're all together just makes it that much better.
Yeah.
And God, I just want to see more of it. Like, really. Like, literally. Like, I got the same vibe Travis got when I was like, where have they been on wrestling television?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why are they not... Why did they need, like, they literally
How built, did they fall through the cracks?
They literally built this stage, Lucha Underground, on El Rey, literally for them. Like, yeah. I'm watching the show because of them, and everything else beneath it is just as good that now I'm watching the show because of everybody.
And it's not just now, because I remember it was during the, I think the first round or whenever they first got together, they were all coming out as a team, and like, the audience, like, had a shoot, like, they were like, taking turns to chant each one of them.
Yeah.
Like, there's Ivelisse chants, and then there's Angelico chants, and there's Son of Havoc chants. Like, they're all, like, even the audience is like, screw it, cheer them all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there is a lot of the it factor or X factor with all three of these, well, two guys and one gal. You know, they just know what they're doing, and man, I think Lucha Underground really found a couple of diamonds in the rough there. Although, I mean, you know, with Ivelisse, you know, people have known about him.
You got it right the first time. It's those three. Like, I don't disseminate them as two guys and a girl. I see them as three equal people right. That can beat the shit out of you in three different ways.
Yeah.
And they're, any one of them individually, I'd watch them just as much as I'd watch the other two.
Yeah.
Even Ivelisse to be on that same level. Mm-hmm. Just like Sexy Star is on the same level on the as roster wise, it says a lot about the three of them. It says a lot about them individually and the company.
Yeah, and it's really cool that they're able to, you know, continue to pull off all this stuff without them actually having a match. Because after all, Ivelisse really hurt her ankle.
Yeah, she's apparently cast in the interview.
Yeah.
Well, all that feud is going to continue again this week. Cisco and, excuse me, Mr. Cisco and
get it right.
Yeah, right. Cortez Castro. They're going to fight. Son of Havoc and Angelico.
Nice.
Three on two match. Yeah, no, just
two on two.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cortez Castro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great segue. The last part of our, Lucha talk. They got punished for losing, for losing a layup.
Yeah.
Cueto's explanation of a layup.
Do you know what a layup is?
It's like a gimme. Yeah. You can't even take a gimme. You fumble a layup. Let me show you who my brother is.
I love that whole thing. And the fact that this has been an underlining story
arc?
Yeah.
Story arc?
Yeah. It's been touched on every so often. Mm-hmm. But they always go back to it. They haven't forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting more pieces of the puzzle.
In this one. Apparently this thing that Dario has locked up in the bowels of the temple is Dario's brother? What? Okay, that's something new we learned. That it's his brother. All right. So the crew goes in there and they look and their facial expressions change to like,
Oh, they have to look up, and you see a shadow that's like overshadowing them.
Yeah,
and I have a concern about that.
Yeah,
because I have a feeling, and this is coming from years of experience with WWE.
Okay,
that you build up something like this,
it's
gonna suck when it's revealed.
Mm.
I'm hoping. I think that'll be the final test for Lucha.
to see if they can actually pull off whatever the hell this is supposed to be.
Because they're really giving the slow burn on this, and they're really hyping up the anticipation with it. It better deliver.
And it is so storyline driven, as in a movie. Like, you have this slow reveal, like, we don't know what it is yet, and we have the master of the domain with the key and everything. He's kind of, you know, kind of directing traffic, everything around this thing. And then on this side aspect of it, we have this other old lucha dude. He's training this, the
assassin woman, chick.
Yeah, yeah, to come in and take this thing out. So it's like, everything's building to this monster or whatever it's supposed to be. So I love what we're seeing right now. I have apprehensions of it because of what I've seen happen before in the past.
Wild speculation, go. Who is it?
Oh. It's Lucia. You can't even...
That size? Akebono.
Okay. Abyss. No. That's too crazy. How would he be his brother? That wouldn't make any sense.
I want to say it's Macias. It's Mil Muertes outside the mask. The character, the person playing a new character.
It could be, yeah.
Could be. But would he be that big to intimidate everybody?
Are there any other big dudes in AAA?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. That's exposing our ignorance of AAA right there.
Well, if any listeners know, maybe they can tell us.
Yeah, maybe. listeners, wild speculation. Who is it? Who do you guys think it is? What do you think is going on there?
For those of you who actually watch Lucha.
Yeah.
For the four of you.
I would hope it's more than four, because we're dedicating half our show to this now, because it's just so good, you know? Yeah. Like, I would hope that there's more than just four or whatever listeners out there. Like, we stopped talking about TNA because people told us, why do you still talk about TNA? I hope that people are, like, happy with us talking about Lucha Underground. We haven't had anybody complain yet, but...
Damn, we're about to start talking about TNA.
Well, you know,
two bullet points. Dixie Carter's been on the Steve Austin podcast today. Tuesday. Right. She'll be on it again next Tuesday on the clean version. And apparently they're hyping up some nice surprises for their live episode that's gonna start there. It's like tapings in Universal Studios.
What are you talking about?
TNA. Impact Wrestling.
That one wrestling show in space where there's nobody.
Yeah, Gravity.
Yeah.
Where like Sandra Bullock is like off in the distance somewhere going,
It's an empty arena every show. It's kind of their gimmick.
Yeah.
Let me remind you.
Is it based in Baltimore?
Let me remind you. This year's Slammiversary, their big announcement, they're going to have it live at Universal Studios.
Oh.
I know.
Wah, 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 wah.
Da, 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 da. All
right, were we done with Lucha Underground before we
get to TNA?
And TNA. Okay, boom. Move on. Ring of Honor.
Ah!
Again, has...
What the hell was that?
That was his excited Ring of Honor screen.
Don't ever do that again.
Yeah. Ring of Honor has announced some more stuff. Interesting things going on. Chris.
Boo, San Antonio. Yay! Two shows back to back. Friday and Saturday. All-Star Extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
September 18th on a Friday and September 19th on a Saturday.
Hey, Friday
at the same place
of my birthday.
Well, yeah, if you play your cards right, you might get some little action after the show.
Woo! Yeah. Wow, they're going to be in Dallas at some other point in time this year, then they're going to go back to San Antonio.
The Dallas announcement was that they're actually got a TV contract to be showing Ring of Honor.
Oh.
That's what that was.
It's not a live show.
It's not a live show. A couple of friends of ours took that as, they're going to Dallas. No. This is them announcing that wrestling's going to be on their television station.
In their market.
In their market, basically. Yeah. Because they touted the history of the Sportatorium and the Von Erichs and Texas wrestling, and now they're bringing that kind of wrestling back.
That's kind of one step closer to Houston, I
suppose. That's what I said.
Yeah.
2 out of 3, man. You gotta complete the trifecta, man.
Well, unless you want to count Austin, then it's 2 out of 4. I know Austin's weird. Yeah, I see you gagging there. Yeah, your gag reflex.
No, I'm trying to.
There's a chance.
No, I can say something now.
No.
ROW's on the cube, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Is anybody taking up real estate on the Ion channel, channel 20?
I don't think so.
wouldn't shock me if that's where they end up if they try to find a way to get here.
Yeah. I don't know. They have this contract with Sinclair, and I don't think there's any carriers in Houston that carry anything from Sinclair Broadcasting, but I don't know. I could be completely talking out of my tuchus.
So, yeah, and oddly enough, that also falls on the weekend where on Sunday, September the 20th, WWE Night of Champions is at the Toyota Center here in Houston.
Here in Houston.
Yeah.
Wow. So San Antonio, Friday and Saturday for Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. Then Sunday, WWE here in Houston.
So if there are any listeners that are planning to do the menage a that weekend, let us know. You might not be the only ones.
Ooh.
Calm down, Abel.
Keep it in your pants. Keep it.
Too late. We lost him.
I'm done. All right.
Do you need a cigarette?
I don't smoke. Anyway.
Cigarettes.
Right. There was another thing that we failed to mention because from 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Future Wars and War of the Worlds and all that. Mm-hmm. What was announced that Wednesday, because you know we record Tuesdays and upload on Wednesdays, on that Wednesday, ACH versus Nakamura.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my hearty.
We can watch them both nights.
Yes, that definitely sweetens the pot right there. That almost makes it a must-see. ACH versus Nakamura. Oh, God. I don't care if there's no storyline, no nothing to it. I really want to see that. I want to see that happen. That's going to be such a great match.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Where are we watching it?
Gee, I wonder.
La Cocina Studios.
Yay! Yeah.
Where do we watch everything, Pinky?
What's happening at Comic Palooza again?
Comic Palooza Memorial Day weekend. That's where ROW and Doomsday Wrestling are going to be conducting their next live events.
Sting's going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Apparently Sting's going to be there. Who'd have thunk it? Yeah. Jeez, I wonder where you heard that from.
Wasn't us.
Yeah, apparently it wasn't us. But, Sting will be there. A bunch of other wrestlers will be there signing autographs and whatnot. So it's going to be pretty cool. Yay.
Doomsday?
Yeah. Yay, Doomsday! Ah! Yeah.
Doomsday!
Doomsday.
Yeah. That's honestly, for me, that's more of a treat than ROW.
I know. Yeah, Doomsday just, you know...
Doomsday is the NXT to ROW's.
Because they don't do them so often.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
When they do a show, it's, like,
it's special.
You gotta go there.
You gotta see it. Yeah. You know, of course, again, at the end of the month, May 30th, we have Lone Star Championship Wrestling coming up. Still over at the VF Dub. Main event, Big Daddy Yum Yum versus Raj Singh, formerly known as Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal! Yeah!
Jinder Mahal?
Yeah! 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 Band!
You guys suck so bad. But one thing that I neglected to mention last week, just because my memory sucks and I'm sorry, is something about one of the Lone Star guys. David Super Duperon.
Yeah, his memory must suck too after the hit he took to the head.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's funny, we can laugh about that now.
Now we can, yeah.
Yeah, because he's alive.
He went to a state competition for, you know, all of Texas, a weightlifting competition, and he won in his weight division, in his weight class, first prize, best, I think it was bench press in all of Texas.
Wow.
So for his weight class, he is the strongest guy pound for pound in Texas. So congratulations, Dave Super Duper on.
Very nice.
Yeah, that was really cool. Really, really cool. So yeah, friend of the show, been on the show before. Go back in the archives. He's somewhere on there.
That's how you plug it there.
Yeah. Quick, cheap little plug. The night after, May 31st, NWA Inspire Pro in Austin is going to be having another one of their shows. Their main event is ACH versus Andy Dalton.
That should be good.
Yeah, that card's from top to bottom is pretty stacked.
I believe that card also has a triple threat women's match. Jessica James, Athena, and I think the same chick that's going to be...
Delilah Doom?
No, it's another chick. But I think she's the same chick that's going to be fighting Barbie here. What was her name? I can't remember, but some chick that I'm like, oh, I want to see who this is. But once you throw out Jessica James and Athena, that already,
oh, yeah,
right there,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's... That's already right there, money. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah,
I'm actually, really cool. I might be in that area that weekend, so I might be corresponding from there.
Hide your kids.
Yeah.
More like hide your tacos, this guy over here.
Yeah.
Taco killer.
Doesn't smell that bad, does it?
Says you.
Yeah.
So, that's it?
That's it. Well, I mean, speaking of tacos, let's go get some. Cinco de Mayo, man. Let's go raid a taco.
A la chingada, Leonos!
Hold on, I gotta ride with you guys because I'll get shot or something.
Yeah.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles.
Toodles.
Travis, say something stupid in Spanish.
Stupid in Spanish.
Wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.